Thank you for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from one of our Kingdom conferences. So here's a story how we came with Joanna and Randy. It's been a few years ago. I don't remember the exact year, but I was at a regional gathering of different leaders and pastors in the region, and one of our good friends came up to me and just had the weird look on his face, and you know, typically it's, okay, the prophet's going to say something, because he had this, like, you know, that, you know, is anybody, am I the only one that knows that, right? You know, it's that look, and so I like, it's like, this is going to be profound, and he goes, Jay, the Lord says, you carry the anointing of Jatko, and then he walks off, and I'm like, I don't know who Jatko is. And so it was a cool thing. And I'm like, okay, yes, Lord. I wrote it down, but I did not steward the word. You know how I did not steward the word? I did not go and look who Jatko was. And so it was about 9 months later, I'm at another gathering exactly like this. That same guy walks up to me, and I'm talking to another leader. I think it was Steve Backlund from Bethel. And we're just chatting, and Chuck comes right up in the middle like this. He goes, excuse me, Steve. Steve, did you know that Jay carries the anointing of Jack Coe? And then Steve kind of looks at me and goes, ha, 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 yes. And I just knew in that moment. And the Lord goes, hey, dummy, I gave you this word 9 months ago. Sometimes we always say the Lord's a gentleman. Sometimes he's going to do that to you, okay? All right? He says, I gave you the word and you did not steward it because you didn't know who it was. And I just want to tell you, I wonder how many Christians out there have received a good prophetic word, a life-changing, dynamic word, and because they didn't understand it, they did not investigate it or steward it, and it never came to pass because they never embraced it. Okay? I just want you to understand this. Go back to your prophetic words, even if they seem obscure and you don't understand them. The Lord may be releasing a destiny word to you, and if you embrace and grab a hold of it, you'll actually discover a great gift that he has for you. And so in that moment, I go, I better find out who Jack Coe is. And so I began to do some research, and lo and behold, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God. I'm a student of revival. I've been reading and studying revival history for years, and somehow I missed a pioneer of the healing revival movement from the 1930s through the 1950s. I knew who Oral Roberts was. I read a lot about Oral and what he had done and things like this, and all of a sudden I discover Jack Coe was moving in the kingdom as a contemporary, and in fact, and I don't want to take, there's lots of stories. I just started to discover things about Jack, the largest revival tent, bigger than Ringling Brothers, at the time, in this massive level impact. But the most profound video I saw is we've been asking the Lord to move into signs, miracles, and wonders, and specific healing. Like, I carry a word about healing, but also the house carries a word about healing. And we've seen some miracles take place in our house, but it happens at a smaller percentage than I like. Like, a lot much smaller. I'm like, I want every person I pray for to be able to be radically touched because I believe the blood of Jesus heals that well, right? And so it's not a problem with him, and it's not even a problem with me or the person you're praying for, but there's something. What is it? And then all of a sudden, I started seeing the testimonies of the amount of people that were healed when they went to a Jack Coe crusade or in. They met Jesus, they gave their life, and they were saved, and they were touched. And one of the most profound videos was this woman who had this gigantic goiter on the side of her neck. And he just says, do you believe that Jesus heals? And she goes, yes, sir. And he goes, all right, whoo! And he rips it off, and he's holding in his hand this big old blob of stuff. And there's no blood. And it's like, this is the 40s and 50s. Like, this is not trick photography. This is not in the day where you can deep fake a video. And I'm going, that is what? Why? Because the kingdom has shown up. I think the church has not been as successful as it's been called to be because we've been powerless. Because we took a step back from our destiny, our inheritance of the power of God. We sing that song, Show Me Your Glory, and there's so many times this false humility springs up and says, I don't want to steal the glory from God. I don't, brother, I just don't want to do that. If you think you could steal the glory from God, you think you have something to be glorious about. That's pride. We were made for the glory. We carry the glory. It's Christ, the hope of glory, where? In us. Okay? And so whenever I had that word, I just began to pray into it. And many things we've done here at Legacy has been around stewarding that word. It wasn't just about the man. It was about the aspect of large healing tent revivals, manufacturing tent. I started pressing the Lord. What was it that you did? And he says, I used Jack Coe, I used Oral Roberts to restore and return signs, miracles, and wonders in evangelism back through that time frame. And it had to be a man on a stage at that time because it was restoring something back, an inheritance to the church that had been lost. But he says, now in the season that we live in, now it's not just going to be about a tent. It's going to be walking tents of revival. Everywhere you go, you're a walking tent of massive revival. Do you understand that? About half of you did that. The rest of you are going to get it this weekend. I'm just telling you this. And so earlier in June this year, I was at a gathering with some of my brothers, and the Lord prompted me to ask one of my brothers, Charlie Coker, who's a prophet in Florida, and said, he said, tell Charlie this word. I said, okay. So I share it with Charlie, and he starts just laughing. He goes, do you know that I've been carrying the number for Jack Coe's daughter in my phone for years now? And every time I went to go call it, the Lord said, no, it's not for you. But the moment you told me the story, the Lord says, that's why you've been carrying it. So when I called Joanna up, and I'm sure you get tons of calls, right? People who are attracted to the fame or the anointing of Jack Coe, and they just want to get around because it's almost like they want a fanboy type thing. And I just told her my story. I said, I did not know who your dad was. And that's not a bad thing. I said, but I know the Lord has knit our hearts even before anything, before I received that word. And we started talking. It's like, I feel like I've known you all my life, right? And then Randy, today we go to dinner and we're just talking. Like, I feel like I've known you for a long, long time. And so I just say with the warmest heart that says, I love you both. I'm so grateful you came. They live up in North Texas, and they minister a lot on the East Coast and the West Coast, and the Lord finally brought them back home to be able to minister. And so we just really believe there's going to be something that powerful is going to happen. So I want you to understand the context of what's led up to this thing. It wasn't like, hey, I read a cool book about Jack Coe. Let's go invite somebody to come. No, it was relational. It was a word that God says, there's a season and a reason that I'm doing this right now. So why don't you stand up, and why don't you just welcome Randy and Joanne as they come to share.
Hallelujah. Come on, just worship him. Praise him. Woo! Thank you, Lord. We celebrate you. What a wonderful name it is. Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, in the Pentecostal realm, we say you may be seated if you can. We're always hoping sometimes somebody can't. They say it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Soon all those around warm up and it's glowing, right? All we need is just one spark. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, Sparky. That's right. See, I've been in dead churches. I've been in dead places. But I found out dead wood burns really fast. So I'm not scared of dead churches anymore. I used to say, oh, God, why'd you bring me here? They're so dead. Now I realize you just get a spark going and they all start burning. Woo! And then you have to say, well, you may be seated if you can. You may be seated if you can. Ooh! Well, maybe they can't. Hallelujah. Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad, I was thrilled, I was overjoyed, excited, elated to be in the house of the Lord. I believe the day we've lost that, we've lost something in our relationship with God. This should be an exciting moment to be able to gather in his name. We were about to lose it. They were about to try to take it away from us of this gathering. And we have this so openly in America to be able to do. And we've taken advantage of it. And even with the presence of God showing up, you know, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, he's here. No, you better grab a hold of it when he's here. He don't have to show up. He don't have to be here. When he shows up, we need to get everything he's got. I just want to soak in it. I tell people, put waders on me. Wader boots, because fat floats. It's okay to be a fat Christian. That means you're faithful, available, and teachable. Hallelujah. So I just say, put some wader boots on. That way I can just stay underwater and just stay in the river and in the glory. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, wherever I go, I change the atmosphere. What you're carrying should be. I said, what you're carrying. You said, if I abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask what you will of the Father and it shall be done. You're carrying the Holy Spirit. You're an atmosphere changer. Things need to change when you show up. Amen. So thank goodness you're here. Thank goodness. I mean, all of us should be like Mary and Martha. I mean, when Mary and Elizabeth met. So you make my baby jump. I can feel a lot of you babies jumping coming in here. Y'all are excited. You came with expectation, and expectation breeds miracles. And so I thank you that you came expecting. I thank you that your babies are jumping. Amen? Hallelujah. Just want you to know we do have some impartation materials over here on the table. We are 100% full-time evangelists. We don't do this on the side. This is our job. He is our boss, and our retirement plan is out of this world. Hallelujah. It's exciting. And any company try to come and tell me they want, I said, can you match this? Can you match this? Then I think I'll stay with what I'm doing. Because they can't come near the retirement plan. Amen. And so my dad was Jack Coe, as he was telling you some people, and don't feel bad. A lot of people don't know who Jack Coe was. I've had people say, honey, I'm sorry. I never heard of your dad. That's okay. I come to tell you who he is. He's my dad. My dad, Jack Coe, had the largest tent in the world, held over 22,000 people with another 10 to 20,000 people standing outside. Blind eyes open, the lame walk, the deaf hear. People come off of hospital beds, out of wheelchairs. Divine miracles happen right in front of people's eyes. Just like he said, he slapped the garters off. He told one lady, he said, hold your dress. She grabs a hold of the top of her dress, and he rears back his fist and hits her in their stomach real hard. Lost 5 dress sizes right there. I said, I want that line. Amen. But what it was a tumor. And that thing just dissolved and disappeared. She hadn't held her dress, she would have lost it. So many, many miracles happened. They brought them from hospitals straight to the tent. Now, a lot of people's trying to go to the hospital and get people up out of the bed. Get them back in the church. Bring them back into the church. I'm telling you, we're wanting to go. I'm for going out, don't get me wrong. But I'm also for getting them in the church. See, he said, I'll have a church the gates of Hades will not prevail against. The church isn't the building. You are the church. It didn't become church till you show up, right? But we need to bring them back into the house of the Lord with the anointing and the power. It's kind of tough to go pray in a hospital. I've been there. A lot of devils running around. Running in and out of the room. You're trying to pray. Say, can you just shut that door? What? I just need a little time with me and God and all your devils out of here for a little while. Just a few nurses stay out for a little. I'm not saying nurses have devils. It's just they're running around the hospital. So it's really easier in an atmosphere like this. Go ahead and take a deep breath. Go. There you go. Now, is that better? Some of you are a little uptight. What's going to happen? Not. How's it? You know, well, now we've checked each other out, so it's all going to be good. Amen. Air is the atmosphere of earth, and glory is the atmosphere of heaven. What we long for is the glory to fill the place. Amen? And we let the glory come. Miracle signs and wonders begin to happen. He shows up. Sin can't hang out in the house. Things begin to change. And so that's what we long for is his presence. That's what I came for. I want to be right in the middle of it. If they have to get me off the floor and say, you're supposed to speak. Huh? You know, that happened to me one time. My husband kept saying, well, I don't know when she's going to get off the floor. And I thought, I'm not. He was over there trying to help me because he said I was running out of things to do. He's like, can you get up yet? No. I love it when I get in his presence. Amen. So I'm trying to tell you about product. I'm sorry, the preach is in the house. Hallelujah. So my dad wrote his own life story book, The Jack Coe Story. And he was an alcoholic when he got saved. But when he did, all he could say was, hot dog, I got it. He went in the army, got locked up in 9 different nut wards because they thought he was crazy for serving God. And then he went from that into the largest tent in the world with all the divine miracles that happened. They called it the ABCs of revival back then. A.A. Allen, William Branham, Jack Coe. And so the many miracles that happened, and some of you may say, well, I haven't heard of any of those, but I have heard of Oral Roberts, Billy Graham. And so they called them, a lot of them, they've even come out with books called The God's Generals. And so if you want to know more about this Jack Coe, he wrote his own story. This is not one we wrote. He wrote this when he was alive, and you can hear it from his own way. He was just kind of a down-to-earth, plain-spoken man, and the book is simple, just like he was. Amen. And then he wrote another book called Curing the Incurable. Doctors say there are diseases that are incurable, but Dr. Jesus says they're not. Dr. Jesus takes your case, it's curable, amen? And there's many people that was in my dad's tent that had incurable diseases that were healed. There were people who had minds that were gone, and God brought their mind back. There was one that a mongoloid child, and the head began to shrink right there in front of everybody, and the doctor said, oh my goodness, it's going to shrink till it caves in, but all it did was shrink to normal. Amen. It's time to see these things happen again. There's some other books over there, but we also have A.A. Allen's book called The Price of God's Miracle Power. There's many people who get in line and say, I want that. What? What your dad had? What A.A. Allen had? Just lay hands on me and give that to me. And I believe in impartation, but some people, I'm sorry, you're a nut. Let me be nicer, you're an acorn. But acorns develop, amen? And so when the impartation happens, it may not show in you yet until you begin to develop. And so he says, if you want that price, if you want that cost, there is a cost and there is a price, amen? And so a lot of times when you start talking about that, they're like, no, I didn't want that. I just want to do those hot dog things. Anyway, that's another sermon. Also, I have some of his CDs and DVDs. One of my favorite sermons of my father's is God Will Set Your Fields on Fire. You know, somebody that's not saved needs to get saved. This is powerful. But it's also powerful for Christians. People haven't heard this kind of preaching. In fact, a man told me, he said, ma'am, you need to put a warning label on that. I said, what? You need to warn people not to listen to that in their car. I said, why not? That's why people buy CDs to listen to in there. Not that one! Not that one! I said, why? It's because I had to get in my floorboard and cry out to God 4 times. So I warned you. I hope you do listen to it in your car and have to get in your floorboard. Amen? I know it by heart, and I still cry out to God when I listen to this message. It's that powerful. Also, a brand new name, How My Dad Hot Dog Got It. And he tells about being in the army, getting locked up. And he tells about how others hot dog got it. Very powerful testimony called A Brand New Name. And then, of course, Divine Healing on Trial. There's also some other DVDs, 2 Prayers to Pray or Be of Good Cheer. So if you want to see the old hairdos, the old cars, old ambulances back then, you want to see the tent revivals and how people flooded in there and how people got saved, you'll see where his deaf ears are being opened. He told one person pulled cancer off the side of the face, had it in his hand, said, you want to come see? And so you can see some of those miracles. Amen? And so those are on tape. And then I have some of my CDs and DVDs. One of mine is that I preached at Ruth Heflin's camp called Arise, Take Up Your Bed, and Walk. And I'd preached many of the stories about healings and miracles. They had brought a girl up who had had part of her brain removed. And because of surgery, she began to have a brain bleed, and they had to take more out. Caused her hands to draw up, her legs to draw up, her mouth to draw, and she couldn't talk. So she could do some things, but she couldn't walk and talk. And so she wasn't a vegetable, but she wasn't developed right anymore. I thought she was a young girl, but come to find out, when your brain doesn't grow, you don't develop. So she looked young, but she was 36. Long story short, prayed for her and prayed for the brain cells to begin to restore. Her arms came out, her legs came out. She not only walked, but she ran. And when her mom got up, hey, man, go ahead. And when her mom got up off the floor and saw her, she went, Jesus. And the girl ran over and said, Lord, and took off running again. Hallelujah. So I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still heals today. Amen. Hallelujah. CDs with good old time music. It is no secret. Beulah Land, Sweet By and By. I love the new songs and the old songs. So, but they just happen to be old ones over there. Okay. So if you miss some of them, well, we have some of the old songs. We have cards with DVDs, baby, wedding, birthday, God's love, God's forgiveness. And I always tell people, why shop at Walmart? Your seed's not going to grow at Walmart. Shop with us. Your seed will grow and you can go to Walmart more. Amen. These are great gifts to give. They're very anointed. They have beautiful scenes and scriptures. And so these are awesome cards to give someone or to give to yourself. We have bandanas we pray over. We have prayed over these for healing, deliverance, and salvation. We also have prayer cloths if you'd rather have a prayer cloth. But I started this because I found out some people will not take a prayer cloth. Are you believing that? I mean, I guess because I've been in church most of my life, that just kind of floored me. And so I got these so you could be undercover agents. We pray for it. They don't know about it. You give it to them as a gift, and We've been hearing the testimonies, people getting saved and people getting healed. So if you want, and you can go ahead if you don't, but if you even want special prayer, just get back up here in the line holding the bandana, and we'll say the special prayer and call out their name, okay? We're here several days. So if we don't get to it tonight, there's tomorrow in the morning, in the afternoon, at 10 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and 6. So we get to keep having fun. Woo, go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, we're going to have fun. Amen. And we're going to be busy praying for people. We're not going to be over at the table. I know that might disappoint you, but I have prices on there, and it's all there. But we do have a way to take your credit card. There's some forms in that little box. You can either write your check, put it in the box, cash, or you can fill this credit card form out and put all your information. Be sure and put your phone number and put the amount you spent. I mean, you don't want me to put mine. I could max out your card, okay? So I'm just warning you. And I love the disciple crosses. Anybody know about the disciple crosses? Ever heard about them? Great testimony. They're adjustable, go up and down. I know they say that the trucks are not going to be here in time for Christmas. But don't worry. Christmas is right over there, and the truck don't even have to come. Only thing of a truck here is you're going to back up your dump truck. Beep, beep, beep. And what is it? That grain bin? Fill her up, Lord. Yes. I listened to what Pastor said. So anyway, but this represents the whip they beat Jesus with right here. These nails represent the crown of thorns, the spikes that went into his hands and his feet. And this wrapped around, this twain wrap represents the crown of thorns that went on his head. So if you're wearing the necklace and somebody says, oh, I like your necklace, you can take it off and tell them the story. One lady said, I'm going to get some for my neighbors because they've been picking on me. And she went around and bought several and knocked on the doors. 3 people in her neighborhood got saved after she took and gave them the necklace and told them the story. Amen. Because you can expand on it. God's told you, right? Amen. I'm so glad my husband is here with me, Randy Herndon, and he's going to help pray at the end of the ministry preaching. God uses him. He was raised Episcopalian. Can you believe he got around these Pentecostal people? Yeah, he hot dog got it too. But God uses him to see inside of bodies. He never understood that when it first started to happen. I said, I don't know. I've never done that. Never even heard of my dad doing it or A.A. Allen. But he began to see things inside. And sometimes he'll just speak one word, things prophetically. And just the innocence and how God uses him and the miracles and things. And so you do want to get prayer from him too. Sometimes some people say, well, I want her because she preached the word. It's him. And it's been amazing. Maybe you'll tell one of the stories of how God used him, seeing inside. And then sometimes, like he told one person, he don't try to come against doctors, but when God speaks, you have to do what God says. And he told a lady in Indiana, he said, I don't know what the doctors have told you, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord just told me you have. And it's hereditary, and it's in your blood. And he named some big, long name, so I knew it was God because I knew he didn't know that name, much less did I. And he said, you need to go back, and you need to get tested for this. And then when they give you the medicine for this, it'll be a matter of weeks. You're getting worse instead of better. And everything they're giving you, it's making it worse, and they can't seem to find the cure, but they keep telling you it's this whatever thing they're telling you. But I'm telling you it's this. And so she went back, and the doctor said, well, we've already checked, and that's what it is. We just need to find the right medicine. And she said, well, I need you to check this. And said, where did you hear that? And she said, at church. And that you can see the doctor going, I don't think your insurance company will pay for it just because you heard about it at church. She said, well, then I'll pay for it, but I want it done. So basically they ran the test. They called her back in a few days, week later, said, we're going to run some more tests. She said, I can't afford more tests. They said, no, this is on us. And they did it two or three times, and finally they came out and said, well, whoever that person told you, how did they know? Because that's exactly what's wrong. And they began to give her the medicine. Within 3 weeks, she was doing great. Amen? Amen. So come on, honey. This is Randy Herndon.
See, that just proves you don't argue with the Holy Spirit. Look at all these good-looking people. You told me that they were... never mind, I won't say that. What are you crazy people doing here in church on a Friday night? Isn't it cool? I'd have never thought I'd be doing this, I'll tell you that. I just want to give you a little background on Joanna and I right quick, and then I'm going to share a testimony. Next month, the 16th of next month, we will have been married 45 years. All at the same time. You got to say that nowadays. The day after that, the 17th, is this woman's 70th birthday. Can you imagine? I am a blessed man to have somebody look like that at 70 years old. Hallelujah. Woman gets better looking the older she gets. We are parents, we are grandparents, and we are great-grandparents. Well, that'll make you feel old in a hurry, you know. We have 5 great-grandchildren, and we miss those babies when we're on the road. That's just part of the thing you do sometimes when you're doing what we're doing. Amen? So, we were blessed to be able to pastor a church in Dallas, Texas for about 6.5 years. So we know what it's like to pastor. Now we're on the road. The Lord put us on the road. It was his idea, not ours. Come on. And when we were preaching, I did nearly all the preaching, and Joanna led praise and worship. So when he put us on the road, he just flip-flopped us. He said, I want her to preach, and he wants me to drive the car, I guess. I don't know. And I have to do that. No, but he gave me instructions to take care of her. Best job I ever had. I've learned so much. And even at first, I was real about, oh, I don't want to pray for anybody. I don't know. Maybe they don't get healed or maybe they don't like this. Boy, that ain't the way it is now, kids. That's our favorite thing in the world to do is pray for people. Come on. It really is. So be patient with us. We're going to pray for everybody. Hey, you don't think we can do that? Yeah, we can do it. We might be here at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. We can do it, though. We were in Colombia, South America. And we were in a building with about 700 people. And we told everybody that, Joanna told them that we're going to pray for everybody in the building tonight. And the interpreter nearly passed out. You can't do that. Yeah, we can. No, I said, you just watch. Just stand back, Andy, and watch us. We did a fire tunnel. It was the coolest thing in the world. They came down this one side, came through the fire tunnel, and went back that way. Well, the ones that could walk. Yeah, because there's a lot of them that didn't. We instructed their people to try to help us, you know, help them go through the fire tunnel. Well, John was going to get it to first. I said, no, you can't do that. We'll never get it done that way. You got to go to the end. So in a few minutes, I walked up to her and said, you got to look down there at the end. And there was a pile of people, about 30 of them in a pile, laid out like this. And I'm thinking, what in the world? And what they were doing is they'd fall out in the line, and they'd grab a hold of their feet and drag them across the concrete, their heads hitting the concrete like this. Whoa, wait a minute, you know. I mean, it was totally awesome. It really was. So, where was I talking about being pastor of a church? Oh, man, I was talking to your pastor today, and I said, do you realize that pastoring when I was doing it ain't nowhere near like what it is now? Amen. Now, you're going to sit there and ask me how's it different? I'm not saying any of that. It's just a little tougher to do nowadays. Amen. And I'll tell you this time, if he calls me to pastor again, I won't pastor nowhere near like I did back then. My wife is praying now. Oh, Lord, please don't have him do that. So I told you I was going to tell you a testimony. And we love to tell God's stories. That's what these are. These are God's stories because he's the one that does the healing, not Randy and Joanna. And you're going to hear us say that a lot over the next day or so. We don't do it. We're like the mailman. We deliver the mail for him. Then y'all open it. Amen. So we were in upstate New York, Syracuse, I believe it was. And she had just finished preaching. And we had prayed for most everybody in the prayer line. And actually, we were sitting down right here. And she was in the praise and worship team. And speaking of that, the praise and worship in this church is outstanding. Yes. Yes. You ought to hear something. Never mind. moving right along. She came down, I think she was a keyboard player. Anyway, she came down and walked over to me and she said, would you please pray for me? And I said, well, sure. I said, well, look, you've been up there playing and I know you're tired. Why don't you sit down and let me pray for you? And so she did. And her husband moved in close to her and sat down. And I walked over to her. I'm just going to borrow you for a second. Because the Lord said, always told us to lay hands on my people. And that's what we do. It does you real good when you do what God tells you to do. Come home. So I got about right here, and God stopped me. I never laid a finger on that woman the whole time. This is unreal. So he stopped me. He said, tell her this. I said, you have breast cancer. And she looked at me like I slapped her across the face. She said, how did you know that? Nobody knows that. This is my husband, and he don't even know that. I said, well, he does now. I said, I'm going to tell you what I see. This is what the Holy Spirit is putting in here. I'm going to tell you what I see. It's going to sound strange because we're used to operating in the natural sometimes. We don't operate in the natural in here. We operate in the supernatural. Amen? So I said, this is what I'm going to see. I want you to listen. I said, this thing, and I see it. It's in your right breast right now. And I said, it looks like sort of, when I see things, I have to explain it in things we can understand. You know, we're not doctors and all that stuff. So I said, it looks like about this long, about as big as my thumb, and it's about this long all the way, but on the end, it looks like tentacles wiggling. It was pretty strange. Joanna says, well, honey, you're good. I just want you to just draw it. There's a dry erase board right there, so I drew it. And then it got more weird because everybody goes, oh, man, what is that? That's what I saw. And I said, I want you to listen. I said, what I see it doing is it moving out of your right breast into your left breast, and never leaving a scar or a mark, it's going to come out in midair and hover and disappear. That's pretty strange, isn't it? That's what I came up. I said, what in the world are you saying? But I don't argue with the Holy Spirit. I just tell what I hear. Amen. So, we rock along there for about a year. And you know, like a lot of times, we don't know what happens to people after we leave, you know. And so we come back a year. So this lady comes up. She said, I've got a story to tell you. And, oh, thank you, babe. She had been 8 months. This thing had not grown or not shrunk the whole time. And everybody kept putting pressure on her to get it cut out. She said, no, that man told me, and I believe the Lord, and I'm gonna stick with it. Well, finally she succumbed and said, okay, fine, let's go to the hospital and get this thing cut out. They took her to the hospital, and you know, if you've ever been there, they use the black marks a lot where they're going to cut. Already done that to her and everything. Doctor comes out, and he looks at her and said, I'm going to go back and check my machine, whatever this, probably an x-ray machine, I don't know. And he said, I'll be right back. Well, he leaves, and he's gone a long time. Well, he finally comes back, and he's got this weird look on his face. And he's looking at her, and he goes, get dressed and meet me in my office. She goes, oh, okay, whatever. She goes in, and she sits down across the desk from him and said, you tell me what that man told you. She tells him. He said, tell me again. She tells me. Tell me the third time. And she tells. She said, all right, what's going on? He said, while I was checking my machine, I saw this thing leave your right breast, going into your left breast, not leaving a hole or a scar, and coming out in midair. And he said, it looks surreal. I grabbed at it, and it's gone. True story. That's why we love, I got them cold chills, them Holy Ghost doodads, you know. But I'm not through with the story. The doctor's Muslim. Come on. Come on, think a little bit here. The doctor is Muslim. He saw a genuine Jesus-inspired miracle in front of his eyes that he could not explain away. He gave his heart to Jesus, got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's practicing that today. Now you can, come on, give it up. Will he go that far for one person? Better believe he will. We've been in many times, many places where the Holy Spirit will change the whole message for one person. Now, it's for everybody else, but they don't know that at the time. Come on. He may do it tonight. I don't know. Oh, if he does, better fasten your seatbelts. So, nothing like putting a little pressure on it, ain't honey? He does it a lot, but she is so full of the Word, she can do it. I've seen her do it too many times. So, put your hands together and welcome up here, Joanna Herndon.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I long to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. I'm so hungry for your move, dear God. Lord, we're hungry, is that you tonight, for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, we long to see the hand of God move mightily inside this place tonight, 'cause we're hungry to hear us, Lord. We're so hungry for your move, dear God. For I long to see the hand of God move mightily inside each and every one of you tonight. 'Cause I'm hungry. 'Cause we're hungry. Do you hear us, Lord? We're hungry for your move, dear God. Me and a pastor's wife was riding around and driving down the road and singing some good old time songs. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? And just some of the old time tent meeting songs and old time gospel songs. And she was harmonizing, making me sound good. And she took off singing that song. She was waiting on me to come in so she could harmonize. And I said, sing it again. She sang it again. And by this time, I'd pulled over. And I said, sing it again. Tears rolling down my face. And she said, you don't know this song? And I said, no, but I'm going to learn it. Because that's my heart. I'm hungry. She said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're looking for people today who's always bless me. They want to have the Bless Me Club and the blessings of God. He says you're already blessed if you're hungry and thirsty. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. So if you've been having some problems with blessings and finances and all kinds of things, if you're hungry and thirsty tonight, you better get ready for the blessings. Because he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That means you get full. You ever been to a place you get so full and they want to give you peppermint? Say, honey, I'm so full I couldn't even put a peppermint in my mouth. I'll pop. You ever been that full? God wants his church that full. He wants people to be filled. In Psalms 23:5 says, he prepares a table in the presence of mine enemies. The table's been set tonight. I'm here to eat. I don't know about you, but I'm here to eat, and I'll take your leftovers. I'll eat what you don't eat because it's all good. Anything from the king's table is good, and he's prepared it because he knows what you're up against, and he knows what's going on, and he knows what we're facing in this world, and he prepares the table ahead of time so that when in the presence of our enemies, so when we walk out that door, we can go, three, five, four, five, look out, devils, here we come. Be just telling them, run, devils, run, because here I come. Get up knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Psst, come here, devil. Good morning, Lord. Some of you need to start waking up and saying good morning to him. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, God. Start your day off right. Put him where he belongs and start having fun. I've been into places where they don't have fun. They're dead. I said, God, did you get these people out of a graveyard and put clothes on them so they have a personality? It's a dead place. Amen. But death don't stop God. Lazarus, come forth. He's in his church being alive and being full. He wants his children to be water walkers. He wants his children to be filled to overflow. He said he prepares the table in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Excuse me, am I splashing on y'all? Yeah, we get out and about and go places. We just be splashing on everybody. Because we hot dog got it. A lot of people don't want to go to church with people because they got what you got. Jack, go to church with me? No, I don't think so. Well, why? Because I'm already busted, disgusted, oppressed, depressed, possessed, mad, sad. already got what you got. Why do I want to go? But when you're filled up, full. See, that's what's wrong. The church isn't getting full. He said on the day of Pentecost was fully come. We don't wait on it to fully come. We're in on time and out by nine.
Ain't going to happen tonight.
Except for those who want to sneak out. Amen. We come to eat and to drink because we're hungry. Thank God you're hungry. That's why you're here. You wouldn't be here on a Friday night live. Amen. It is live because he's alive. He arose. Amen. And we serve a risen Savior. And he's tired of people being oppressed, depressed, possessed, mad, sad, busted, disgusted. When he's a God of blessings and overflow and healing and deliverance and salvation, he paid it all on Calvary, debt paid in full. So that you can come into the house of God and fill up and then walk out there and splash on everybody. People be, excuse me, you just got me wet. Woo, good, ha ha. People getting mad, they be thinking you're, you know, because you leave out of here so full, your sprinkler system goes off. Ching, 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 be getting them. That's why wherever we go, we change the atmosphere. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. You see, I was raised in revival. I know what it is to be in the fire of God. Don't get me wrong, I love the rain. I love to get in church. Let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, I love that rain. It's falling down. We're just getting soaking wet, and it's good. And I love the glory. Glory's heavy. People fall out in the glory, and people want to go around trying to pick them up. It's like, you're going to hurt your back. Only thing you want to move them is in there a pile of ants. You might help them get up. Their own ants right now. And that, just leave them. Let God operate. Let God work on them. I love the glory. But I'm going to tell you why I like the fire. Not just because I was raised in the fire, but fire burns everything in its path till it has nothing else to burn. And there's about 6 billion people in this world that needs to burn, baby, burn. We need to get a fire going and that fire not stop, because there's so much in its path it can't stop. And see, when I grew up in the fire, they hot dog got it. You knew people had something. That's why they told them, you may be seated if you can. But there's always one in there, like Sister Gatling gun. Shoot everybody in the place. I mean, they'd get so excited back then, they had helicopter hands. They're going to take off. Now, maybe some of you never been in this. That's why I'm telling you. Y'all did that in church? Yeah, we did. About the time you think you was going to sleep, somebody kicked their shoes off, go up to the ceiling. You looking up because that shoe's coming right towards you. It's got a high heel on it about this big. Some people sitting strategically this close, and you're thinking, man, who's it going to get, him or her? Holy Spirit will just land it right in the right place. Never touch either one, and that person's already ran out of those shoes, kicked them off, running all over the church. They're so excited because there's a fire. And most people say, yeah, they're just showing off. They've been doing this. They know. We just got tired of that in church. We got tired of people doing that. We told people quit doing that. It was embarrassing when we had company. They thought we was home practicing. Honey, when I go to church tonight, how's this look? Yeah, you get them rolling around in the mud. They practice that. Cane Ridge Revival. They go up there, thousands of people showed up in Kentucky at the Cane Ridge Revival, and it's raining outside with 25,000 people, some standing on wagons preaching, some standing on trees. They can't get them all in the church because the church only holds about 250 people, and they're having to have church all over the grounds, up the mountain, down the mountain. And with the rain, they're rolling in the mud. Yeah, they practice that at home. They had the what they called the whippet. You ever heard what the whippet is? Women who had real long hair. And they just get so going in the glory of God and so excited, they throw their head forward this way and their hair go flying. And then they throw their head back this way and their hair go flying. And they do it so fast that that hair would be like a whip. They thought it was a whippet. People would run up trees. People, old people, couldn't even walk. All of a sudden, running up a tree. And some others going down at the bottom of the tree barking at them. Said, you're barking up the wrong tree. When the fire's going on, you can't stop things. It's too much fun. It's too exciting. Well, I don't want that to happen to me. That's why we didn't want that anymore in our church. That's just crazy. Yeah. I want to take people like that that thinks that these people, because most of them was saying, I'm not doing that, and they're the very ones who would do it. I watched some of my brother-in-law who was Baptist. When he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he's climbed the walls, made us look bad. Amen. Couldn't speak English for days. Was having to figure out what he wanted. He's pointing at stuff. And they say, is he from another country? Yeah. We don't know him. We're just helping him out. Amen. The Holy Ghost and fire will change you. And they think people are wanting to do this. I want to take and pour kerosene on some of those pastors who wanted to stop it and then just light a match and say, don't you move. I never seen anybody come out of a building and on a fire and go, ouch, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. No, I'm on fire. You can't help it. There's some people, they don't want it. I was in a line. This is a church that has about 1,500 people in Lafayette. We pray for the people. One lady came up, and I guess we're not getting to my message. Maybe we are. I went to go to pray for her. She said, don't touch me. I said, you don't want me to pray for you? She said, yes, but don't touch me. I said, okay. I said, are you afraid? Yes. What are you afraid of? She looks down, and all those people laid out, and I said, you afraid of that? Yes. I said, all right, well, the catcher's behind you. I'll ask the catcher to make sure you don't fall. How about that? Okay. And about that time, my husband's down over here praying for somebody, and they go forward. She goes, no, don't touch me. I said, well, then give me your hands. Went to take her hands, and poof, she took off running. I said, oh, man, we lost her. Well, we had about 400 or 500 people pray for her. I didn't have time to chase her down, so I just went on praying for people and God moving. And about that time, I saw something go by me, and I thought, that looks like that lady. Nah, kept praying, going on down. It takes a while to get around a big church like that. And here she come again. I said, that is that lady. So now I'm watching for her. I'm praying and I'm watching. And then I see her. She's coming down through here. And then she's getting, I thought, there she comes. Excuse me 1 minute. And I get up. I said, how's this working on for you, out for you now? She said, make it stop. Make it stop. Make it stop. Guess who was in the line the next night? I said, what do you want prayer for? I want it again. I want it again. If you've ever tasted and seen the Lord, he is good. You want it again and again and again. He puts a fire down in your soul you can't contain. He can't control. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it changes you from the inside out. There's some places I go to churches and I say, Pastor, where's your bell? They say, oh, honey, we don't have that kind of church. That's those older churches, the Methodist, the Episcopalian. They go out and ring the bell before. So no, not that kind of bell. You know, up in the East, they have a lot of those churches that they go out and pull that string and ring the bell. And so I guess they thought I was talking about that. And I said, no, no, no. I'm talking about a bell. When I was a kid in school, the principal went and rang the bell. And when he did, we all got to go to recess. I said, your church needs to hear the bell ring because they need to go to recess. God wants his church to go to recess. He wants you to have fun. He wants you to be full of joy because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's time the church gets strong again and walk in the strength of God and the joy of God. Instead of poor, pitiful me, we are casting out more depressed, oppressed, possessed people in the house of God than we are in the world, because there's so many people that the demons have come against and tormented, and you've been robbed of your joy. But he's here tonight to restore your joy and set you back on fire to be the church God's called you to be. So that's why I'm hungry. It isn't just because of what my dad did. I love the meetings of my father. They said to me, do you know how many ambulances showed up in St. Louis, Missouri in one night? And I said, no, I was a little girl when my dad passed away. I was 5 years old. I said, 150. Do you know how many went home? I said, no, I don't. I said, only 30, because 120 was miraculously healed in one night. 96 on stretchers at another tent meeting. These were people who had 6 months or less to live. Even some of them had their own doctors and nurses on staff right there, taking care of them, because any moment they could die. I came straight from the hospital and said they may not make it, but they wanted to be here. Said, do you know how many of the 96 stretchers stayed on the stretchers? I said, no. Said, only 13, because 83 was miraculously healed in one night. Springfield, Missouri, 283 ambulances showed up in one night. How many went home? Only one, because 282 was miraculously healed in one night. The supernatural is what should be happening in the church. This should be the story. People should be coming to the house of God and saying, prayer is in the house. Healing is in the house. Deliverance is in the house. Joy is in the house. Peace is in the house. And if you need something, get to the house of God. That's what we used to run to. We were sitting in a meeting. It was in Red Oak, Texas. Yes. Little boy they called named Grady. He got into everything. Everything. When he was at church. Well, this particular morning, we get a phone call at the church. We're on our way to the church. We're going to stop there and you pray for Grady. And then we're going to take him on to the hospital. So what happens is Grady bit a 220 live wire and his mouth is melting away as we're standing here. But we're going to stop by the church first for prayer. They run in holding this baby in their arms. He's about 2.5 years old. First time he's ever that still. And we're laying hands and praying, God, do a miracle. Watching this like acid eating away. Watching his lips disappear and seeing the gums and the teeth and watching this acidy look. And they tore out the door to the hospital. Got in there, and they finally got him back in the room, and they kept hollering at the doctor, hurry, get in here. We don't know how to stop this. And he said, I'm in the middle of emergency right now. I'll be there in a minute. Well, in the meantime, Dr. Jesus was taking a case. By the time the doctor got in there, all he had, his mouth began to come back, all the acid eating began, his lip began to come. All he had was a little black mark right there. The doctor started chewing people out. I had an emergency in there, and you called me out for this. And they're all like, this is not what it looked like. They're trying to tell him. He's going, Dr. Jesus just took a case. My dad so believed that God would heal that he paid the ambulance bill one way. He said, you bring them, I'll pay the bill. If they don't get healed, they can pay their own way home. That's how much he believed. Went over to one man in a wheelchair, and he pulled him up out of the wheelchair, and he said, walk in Jesus' name. And when he let go of him, the man hit the ground. He picked it back up again and he said, I said walk in Jesus' name. And when he let go, the man hit the ground again. So he picked him up a third time. I said walk in Jesus' name. And the man hit the ground again. Now, I would be finding an exit door as a preacher if it was me. Okay, well, you know, the man just didn't want it. See y'all later. But no, he picks him up again, turns around and kicks him. He says, I said walk in Jesus' name. And about the time it looks like he's going to the ground again, the Holy Ghost hits him and he runs all over that tent. Because Dr. Jesus took another case. Amen. He would go over and jerk people out of wheelchairs and kick them so they couldn't sit back down. Yeah. He'd break their crutches. Hey, you believe God's going to heal you? Yeah, give me those crutches. You won't need these no more. You better start believing. People come up, their eyeglasses, they want to see good. He said, well, give me them glasses. Now he's 300 and something pounds, and he'd just stomp all over them. You could hear them cracking, snapping, and the lenses busting and everything. And they're like, that's a lot of money. He said, yeah, it is, but Dr. Jesus won't charge you for this one. Amen. People's vision would be restored. He told one man, he said, I'm not giving you my glasses. You'll break them. He said, no, I won't. He said, you promise, Brother Coe? He said, I promise. Just give me. He said, you won't stomp all over me? He said, I will not. He said, you give me your word, Brother Coe? He said, I give you my word. Give me the glasses. So the man handed him the glasses, and he said, now close your eyes. He said, no, I got to watch you. He said, no, you're not going to watch me. I told you. And here's your glasses. And he said, here, you put your hand. He let him hold on to one end for a little bit. He said, you'll know they're going to be right here. He said, okay. So close your eyes. So the usher helped put his hand over. My dad got a little device out of his pocket and just started cutting out his lens. When he got through cutting out his lens and puts his little whatever that part of the, in the inner part of that glass, what do you call it? Lens, yeah. Puts them in his pocket. And he said, now put, he said, here's your glasses back. He said, now somebody bring me a Bible. Don't bring me his. Bring me one that's got little letters. I want one where he's going to read it to us. And so they brought a Bible up, and the man started reading it, and he said, see, whoa, praise God. You. He said, no, Brother Coe, listen to me. He said, no, look here. Keep reading, man. He said, but Brother Coe, listen to me. What? He said, but Brother Coe, I can read with my glasses on. He said, oh, really? Took a mom, showed him. Woo! It's time. See, I don't want to just tell the stories. I want to be in the middle of the story. Because my Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did over 2,000 years ago, he's still doing today. Amen. Came up to a man, had cancer all on the side of his face, and he reached up and he said, you foul demon of cancer, ran his hand inside that cancer, took it and started twisting it and pulling it, pulled it right off his face. Holding it with tentacles wiggling on the end of it. He said, tell me this isn't a demon. Threw it down on the ground. It started running around, people jumping back. He said, don't jump away from that devil. I bound it. It won't touch you. He let it run around for a little bit, and then finally he said, Satan, I bind you back to the pits of hell where you came from. They said that thing shriveled up and disappeared right there. Wow. See, Luke 9:1, he said, I give you power and authority. Church, he said, you tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon, you trample under your feet. I give you power and authority. Why are you walking around so weak? Jesus said, I got to go home, boys. Told the disciples, I've been running around here another 40 days after I died and rose again. Said, it, yeah, I'm ready to go back home. Sit at the right hand of the Father, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not just your Honda most shy. Here she come on a Honda. Hick most shy, pass them on by. I want you to get a hold of what this all really means. Everything that Jesus did, he did because of the Father. Everything he operated in was through the Holy Spirit. He never did anything unless it's what the Father wanted done. He didn't say, I'm going to have it my way. He didn't do the Elvis song with the little shake in the leg. No, he said, his way. He followed what God's instructions. He didn't have to Google. He got his instructions from headquarters. Amen? Whew. He said, now here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go home. And I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father. But I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. I want y'all to get this. Pay attention. Tag, you're it. You got what I got.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, church. Tag. God's saying, receive the Holy Spirit. Same thing my son operated in. Tag, you're it. You got what I got. That's how you walk in power and authority. That's how you know who you are in Christ Jesus. That's why miracles, signs, and wonders follow them that believe, because they hot dog got it. Problem is we stayed with the Hickamoshias, passed them on by, and didn't go any further. There's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation. It's like getting a whole box of chocolates. Woo! If anybody don't like chocolate, we have deliverance line up here. You can tell I like chocolate. I like it all. You can tell I eat people's leftovers too. Spiritually and naturally. I like it to show on me. The church needs it to show on them when they're eating at the king's table. It needs to show on them. You need to leave out of here knowing you hot dog got it. You need to leave out of here with joy unspeakable, full of glory, a fire in your soul. Woo! You say, I couldn't even sleep. My head just kept going up and down. Amen. Whew. You got it. I gave you the Holy Spirit. We just thought it was a tongues gift. But there's 9 gifts. The problem with most people is they get a box of chocolates, and what's the first thing you do? You find your favorite piece. Okay, I like the ones with caramel and chocolate and the nuts. And so you dig. You bite into it. That's not it. It's good. I like that, but that's not the one. Oh, that one's good, but that's not it. You can always tell when somebody else has been in your box of chocolates. They poke a hole in the bottom. Because they're trying to do the same thing you did, but they put it back in the box, make it look good. But when you pick it up, there's a hole because they're trying to find their favorite piece of chocolate. And I realized that when I started in the ministry, that's what I was doing. I saw my dad doing healing miracles. And I wanted the healings and the miracles. And that's what I went after. I want that box of chocolate, but these are the 2 pieces. There's some people, all they're eating is prophecy, 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 prophecy. They're running around with their little cell phones. They're running around with their little tape recorders. Give me another word, give me another word, give me another. And then you don't get a word. Well, maybe you hadn't listened to the last one he gave you to follow the instructions, so he can't give you another one yet. God never stops talking. So he'll give you words. He loves you. He wants to minister over you. But sometimes if he gets silent, it's because you're not doing the last set of instructions. And the problem with the church is we're picking our favorite piece of chocolate when we can have the whole box. Took me a while to realize that. So I can be working in knowledge and wisdom and faith and healing and miracles. All of these things, prophecy, discernment. Everything begins to operate in the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, you're doing things that you're like, this is not me. No, it isn't. Because he didn't leave you comfortless, and he's rising up in you, and you're ministering to people, and you're telling people, and you're like, okay, who is this? That's what God wants the church to become back to, that place in him. This wasn't just a tongue-talking thing. That's why a lot of people stayed away from the Pentecostal churches, because they thought we were just tongue-talkers. They didn't realize that we operated in power and authority. They didn't realize that we're mighty, mighty, mighty warriors, warriors, mighty, mighty, mighty warriors, warriors. We cut off the giant's heads. We have giants for our bread. Man, they talk about gun control. Take our guns away. Gonna get our weapons. I got some weapons they'll never get. I'm loaded, cocked and loaded, and can fire them off at any time. Prayer, songs, worship. Ooh, the weapons of my warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Just wait, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. Let us all get cocked and loaded with our weapons. Run, here we come. 18-wheeler pulled up, had a wagon, whatever those trailers they have on the back end. Pastor friend of mine went over and asked him, said, what's in that? I said, oh, we have about 38 missiles in there. He said, you can put 38 missiles in there? He said, yeah, they're not loaded right now, but we're going to take them to the next place, and they're going to load them up. And he said, what about that other 18-wheeler? Oh, they got 38 missiles. So all five of these 18-wheelers had 38 missiles in their trailer. Maybe one day I'll learn what the 38 missiles of prayer is. Preach on what the 38 missiles of prayer. Woo! What happened? One of the missiles went off. Oh, there went another one right in the middle of prayer. See, we have weapons they can't get. I said, church, listen to me. We have weapons they can't get. So we shouldn't be afraid. We should stand up and know who we are. Yeah. It's kind of like knowing you got a bully picking on you. Nobody wants to go to school because the bully's going to pick on them. Mama finds out. What does mama do? I'm going with you today. Now you're standing there. You're walking in front of mom. Come on out. Mom, they'll be here in a minute. They think they're hiding. The bully's hiding. Devil's a bully. And God's with you. You need to know it. Come on out. Show yourself. We'll chop your head off and feed you to the birds. How dare you defy the armies of God? Who do you think you are, you uncircumcised Philistine? I'm way off my message, and that's okay. Because I'm tired of the church sleeping and snoozing and in fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And God said, arise up, faith. Let faith override fear. People say, yeah, well, you know, and I don't really want to talk about this, but I'm just going to say it to prove a point. That little virus, you know what that little virus is doing? People just breathe on you, all kinds of things. It's so contagious. And it's just little bitty. I said, well, I'll put my little tiny mustard seed up against that. Can your virus move mountains? Come on, church. Can your virus move mountains? My little seed, mustard seed, can move a mountain. Whoo! So that's okay. Because I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. They're worried about what's contagious. They haven't seen anything contagious yet when the church gets on fire. I said they hadn't seen anything yet. God's just given us an example what it looks like when people get infected with the gospel of Jesus Christ and how we're going to infect people. Devil's quarantined the church. Did y'all know that? Yeah. When they find out there's an infectious disease, what do? They come in quarantine and they put police tape up all around. Do not enter, do not enter. And then they put little people out there in little outfits. Look like they can't even breathe in them. You can't go in there. And anybody in here, they go, you can't come out. Devil says, you can go to church. Go ahead. But leave it in the building. You can pray and read your Bible, but leave it inside. Be quiet. See, whenever you got something infectious, what do they tell you? Everything on you must be removed right here, put in this trash can, and we're going to take it out and burn it. And so people come to church, and they get the fire of God. They get excited in God. But when they get to the door, it says, now take all of this off. Leave it here in the container, and then you can peacefully go out the door. Well, I come to tell the devil, we're breaking out! We're breaking out! We're going to infect people with the gospel of Jesus Christ! Woo-hoo! So they can hot dog get it. Look at your neighbor and say, I want you to hot dog get it. Whew. Pastor's wasted over here. He's already got it. Yeah, I just said tag, you're it. No, man, I'm not touching another one of you in here yet. Woo, yet. Yeah. So see, okay, so if one infects three and three infects, think about it. If they're telling you how, look how this works. You're going, great. Now we have the formula. Not that there's any formulas in God, but now we know how it's going to work. What are you talking about? You just gave us a chart, but our chart we're going to use for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we know how it works, and it's not going to just be in America. It's going to go across the world just like this is doing. And now we know because we've seen it, and we know what God does, and it's going to get infectious and contagious. Y'all better get ready, get ready. I will close with this because people do catch what you got when you got it. I told you my dad wrote his own life story book. He was an alcoholic before he got saved. He said, you serve one master or the other. Whatever that master tells you to do, you do it. He says, go out and party, you party. Get drunk, you get drunk. If it says go do this, you go do it. Steal, lie. He said, don't tell me. You either serve one master or the other. You say, oh, no, I would never do those things. But eventually you will if you keep serving that master. Or if you serve the master Jesus, you're going to do what he says. You don't have to go to Google. You go to headquarters and he tells you what to do. Amen? The doctors had told him, Jack, you drink another drink, you're going to die. He tried for 2 weeks to quit on his own. He had all kinds of torturous things happening to him, and finally he gets kind of over that, and the devil keeps telling him, Jack, go get drunk. What difference does it make? Just go get drunk. Finally he told his mom, he said, I'm going out and I'm going to get drunk. I've had it. She said, Jack, you know what the doctor said? Don't do it, son. Don't do it. He said, I'm going. I don't care. Headed out the door. He's heading out to the bars and the honky-tonk, and he came by some church. And in there, they were shouting and praising God and having the best time. He said, man, they act wilder than the bar. I got to go check this out. See, ain't people going to come in these dead churches. Sitting there, whoa, 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 yeah. No, when I was growing up, they came and peeked in the windows and watched you shake, rattle, and row. They didn't come look in the funeral and say, what's going on? Something's in a box. Everybody's crying. They never come and check that out. He said, I'm going. He hears that noise, and he walks in the back of the church. He didn't know what it was, but he knew he liked what he heard. He knew there was something happening that he hadn't been around. When he heard the preacher preaching, at the end of the preaching, he ran to the altar and he wept and he cried his way through to God. I got to have what this preacher's talking about. Wept and he cried. And when he got up, all he could say was, hot dog, I got it. Hot dog, I got it, I got it, I got it. Got home and his mama heard him in there rattling around. Said, Jack, what are you doing? He said, Mama, hot dog, I got it tonight. She said, oh, no, Jack, you're drunk again. I said, not this time, Mama. He's trying to tell her, one hand go in the air. She'd try to pull his shirt off, the other hand go in the air. Jack, be still so I can get you in bed, go to sleep, sleep this off. He couldn't. He said, Mama, you don't understand. Let me tell you what happened. She said, honey, get in here. Jack's drunk again. My grandpa come running in. They're trying to put him in the bed. They can't get him in bed. I'm telling you, when Christians get on fire for God, you just can't put them down very good. They try. Finally, my grandpa said, just let him sleep it off. It'll be better tomorrow. Got up the next morning, they're eating breakfast. My dad sat down at the table. He said, can we pray before we eat? My grandma said, are you still drunk? See, people don't understand when you get it. She kept going to church every night. This went on for several weeks, and finally one night he got in, and the next day his mama said, boy, what you been doing and where you been? He said, Mama, I've been going to church. Ain't no church last till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. What do you mean, what you been doing? He said, Mama, I told you I'm going to church. By the way, you never got on to me for being out late drinking and partying. And now that I'm going to church, you're getting mad at me. She said, you hush, young man, because I'm going with you. He said, hallelujah. That's just what I wanted. That night, my grandma and grandpa showed up. At the end of preaching, my grandma turned to my grandpa, said, you going down? He said, no. She said, well, get out of my way, because I am. She ran to the altar, fell on her face before God, and she said, give me what Jack's got. I got to have what Jack's got. I don't know what Jack's got, but I got to have what Jack's got. She wept and cried her way through to God. And when she got up, all she could say was, hot dog, I got it. Hot dog, I got it. Got home that night, my grandpa locked him out. They didn't call the pastor complaining. Well, you held church too late now. We've been locked out. Nope, you know what? They just had church on the porch. My dad would testify to her, and she would testify to him. They'd get to singing, shouting. About that time, my grandpa come up in the door and said, get in here before you wake the neighbors up. Woo! I hope we get to wake them up. Amen. Next day, they go grocery shopping. My dad's with her, pushing that cart. They're going through the grocery store, talking about how good God is and the greatness of God. And my grandma stops in front of all these cans of tomatoes. She said, Jack, what do these cans of tomatoes remind you of? He said, well, I don't know, Mama. What's it remind you of? The blood of Jesus. Woo, my dad. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My mama's got it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My mama's got it. Up and down those grocery store aisles, he was a running and a hollering. Hot dog, my mama's got it. With my grandma on his heels. Ended up at the butcher counter. Butcher man's got blood all over his apron. Wiping tears from his eyes. Said, you going to that revival, aren't you? Said, yeah. Said, yeah, you got what my wife's got. I can't stand to be with her, and I can't stand to be without her. And the only way I could get away from her is to come here, and now y'all show up. Look how he works. That night they hadn't even hit the first note. In walked the butcher man. Went right down the aisle. Came right to the altar and began to weep and cry. Give me what my wife's got. I don't know what my wife's got, but I gotta have what my wife's got. Give me what my wife's got. I gotta have what my wife's got. Wept and cried his way through to God. When he got up, all he could say was, hot dog, I got it. Hot dog, I got it. It's time the church hot dog get it again. It's time that fire begins to burn again. It's time we shake, rattle, and roll. The world's out there doing it all over the place, and we think nothing of it. We're the ones who had to shake before they did. That's why they called us holy rollers. Couldn't take a holy roller out to eat. Waitress say, you want a roll? You say, yes, ma'am. Where do you want me to do it at? Because that fire's still burning. When you have that, you can't help it. I'm ready to see the church that hungry again. That's why I sing, for I long to see the hand of God move mightily inside of us. Cause we're hungry. Yes, we're hungry for your move, dear God. For I'm hungry come on and tell him for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I long to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me, 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 me. It's okay to ask. I'm so hungry for your move, for your move, dear God. For we long to see the hand of God move mightily inside of us. 'Cause we're hungry. Woo, do you hear the bell ringing? We get to go to recess. You've been under a lot of stress. You've been under a lot of pressure. You've been dealing with sickness, disease, and lies. That's what the TV is called, programs. They've been programming you. You know, the best cure is just the OFF. Turn it off. Get back in Him. Get hungry. Just feed on Him. He'll tell you. He'll tell you when it's time to fight, and He'll tell you when it's time to kneel down. He'll tell you like Hezekiah when he says, God, it looks impossible. They're taking over our city. They're doing everything. Sennacherib, I've pulled everything out of the church I can. I stripped the gold off of the walls. I've done everything I can. And He said He's going to come get us. He's going to take our money. He's going to do everything. God said, go to bed. Go to sleep. I got this. He's ready for you to rest in Him. Go to recess. Have fun. He's got it. You've been putting too much on yourself. Devil's been putting in your face too much. It's time for you to have fun again. Saying that it's not my problem. When my God gets mad, y'all are in trouble. All I got to do is go play for a while. See you later. Come on. And when it's time to come and pray, I'll come do that too, because I know, because I'm the church of the living God. Grant said, I am the church of the living God. The kingdom is within me. Woo, He's within me. Woo, makes you feel big all of a sudden. That's a, yeah, where's your thousand? I'll get me a jawbone. Like Samson, I'll just kill you all and then I'll go to recess. Amen. Stand with me, please. I was going to speak on legacy and kingdom, but really that kind of touches legacy and kingdom. Because He said, I send you the Comforter. And you can have the whole box of chocolates. That's why the Pentecostal people do what they do. You ever give kids a whole box of chocolates? You can't keep them still. That's what's wrong with us. We get the whole box of chocolates. And He just loves on us. The healer's in the house. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. You see, healing is the children's bread. He breaks bread with us. But some of us can't even receive healing because there's so much junk in the trunk and there's so much inside that needs to be healed. That was my problem. I was looking for the miracles and the healing, the instantaneous physical outside. Make these eyeballs come in where there's no eyeballs. And He does it. But I found out that people are broken inside. They're hurt. They've been abused. They've been misused. They've been lied to. Go ahead and say it, I belong. got young people today, they don't even realize that they're trying to fit in. I want you to know, young lady, I want to warn you ahead of time so that the devil don't get you running around in the wrong playpens and playmates. You already belong. Say it, I belong. Say it again. You do. You really do. I wish somebody told me when I was young. Then I wouldn't have got in with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things. Somebody would have just told me I belong. But the devil didn't want you to know you belong. He wanted to pick on you and abuse you. So some people have gone through their life, molestation, rape, anger, bitterness, been told they wouldn't amount to anything and have shoved this stuff aside. And then here comes the devil adding sickness and pain to it all. And God said, now why don't you find out every piece of chocolate so you can discern, so I can heal them and make them whole. Whole. That's what he wants to do. There's a wholeness in the house. To heal the little boy and the little girl in you, the teenager in you, and the man and the woman, to heal the divorces, the rejections. He wants to heal those things and your physical body, your backs, your necks, your arms, your shoulders. So we can hot dog get it. Amen. Woo, and then you can say, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. I said, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Amen. So we're going to open up this front. And let's, okay. Is there anything you needed to beforehand? Arise, take up your bed and walk. Well, you were supposed to do it immediately.
That was immediately. The Lord does this every now and then. And it surprises me every time he does it. How many people did here are having back pain right now? Just raise your hand. All right. If you raised your hand, I'd like for you to come right over here, because I want to pray for you. Now, y'all look at how many people. You don't think God knows what he's doing. Come on. Now, I want to say something else right quick. There's people in the house that's battling depression, and you're too embarrassed to come up here and get prayer. Come on. I'm looking down. I ain't looking at a soul. But you need to come down and get set free tonight. Tonight, now. In the next 2 minutes. And don't time or another anyway. Come on. If you're that person, meet over here to the right. Okay? Now, everybody else just start filling in the middle. I got work to do.
Depression, oppression, you lost your joy, you want your joy back, you want your fire back. Come on, right here. Or he said over here, I'm sorry. Over here. And the rest. Jobs, finances, healing, deliverance, inner healing, whatever you need, come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.